Well, is it right for believers to spend their money with ungodly companies or companies who invest in ungodly causes? And how can we know who the good companies are and the bad ones?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is Wednesday on The Line of Fire. We often focus on moral and cultural issues on Wednesday, and we are going to be as practical as possible today. We're going to talk about the pocketbook. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about where our money goes as consumers. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. If you were unable to get in yesterday with your call, comment, question regarding the subject of hell and future punishments, later in the broadcast, later in this hour, I will take some calls about that issue and a bunch of other things going on in our society that are important. But we're going to focus on something very interesting, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, if you have a question for my guest, Chris Stone, who is the founder of FaithDrivenConsumer.com. It's an online community forum that's providing a unique service for the body. Before I bring Chris on, let me explain that there is something called the put out by the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, where they do an index of different businesses as to how, quote, gay-friendly they are, how much they are standing for the gay activist cause. And they encourage people, buy from this company, don't buy from that company. And many Christians say, you know, I appreciate what they're doing. I differ with their position. I'd like to do that as a believer. I'd like to work with companies that share my values. How can I do that? Well, someone that's going to help us with this is Chris Stone. Chris, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast.
Dr. Brown, thank you very much for having me today.
Glad to have you on the air. Chris, where in the world did you get this idea from to launch FaithDrivenConsumer.com?
Well, as a Christian and a believer, I would say that it comes from God. But from a practical standpoint, what I do for a living is bring brands and consumers together as a brand strategist. And it's only natural. There's so many groups in this country that are calling out and saying, this is who we are, and this is how to relate to us. And it occurred to me that there was no one reaching out for faith-driven consumers. And faith-driven consumers simply are Christians whose faith is a significant enough part of their life that it makes a meaningful impact on their daily decisions and choices.
All right. Now, your own background, Chris, you're a certified brand strategist. For nearly 20 years, your bio says you've led account teams on behalf of major brands. So you work with companies and you help them to brand their product. What exactly does branding mean for our listeners that may not be familiar? Because it obviously ties in with this larger subject.
Well, a company's brand is who they are. It's their claim of distinction. It's that powerfully sustainable and differential item about them. And you can look at many of the brands on our list and the famous brands, and they mean something to people. It creates an emotional response in people. You know, one of the lower-ranking companies in our survey, but very well-known, is Nike. Mm-hmm. Nike is just do it. And people know that that's about, hey, you know, get off the sofa, get out there, get active. It's about active sportswear. It's about active participation.
And when people see the logo, they know exactly what it means. All right, so here's our question. Should we even be thinking about this in the first place? We're spending money, maybe you're spending money with the holidays coming up, and should we even care about what companies do with the money, what they stand for? What's our calling as believers here?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I'm speaking with Chris Stone, who is the founder of FaithDrivenConsumer.com. I am looking at the Facebook page, Faith Driven Consumer, which has a 2013 Christmas guide. We'll talk to you about that in a moment. Before I bring Chris back on the phone, I'm holding in my hands a letter from Chad Griffin, who's president of the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, budget of $45 million plus. And they are celebrating what their corporate equality index has done. Chad notes that more Fortune 500 companies implemented, quote, inclusive, I'm putting quotes there, workplace non-discrimination policies than ever before. He mentions that 61% of companies have special non-discrimination policies based on, quote, gender identity, if someone identifies as male or female. 67% offer same-sex partner benefits. In other words, they have gone to these companies and said, if you want our business, if you want our recommendation, then you need to work with us in terms of our gay activist goals. And many Christians say, well, I don't want to give my money to a company that is using the money for things I don't support. Or I don't want to stay at a hotel, for example, that has pornographic movies available. But what do I do? Where do I go? Hence, a small part of faithdrivenconsumer.com. Chris, why is this actually a gospel issue? And why is this something that, on a practical level, every believer can be involved in?
Well, Dr. Brown, the answer to that we base in what we call a triple bottom line. As Christians, we all need to seek out goods and services to fulfill our needs and that of our family. So getting those things is an important part of life, and we recognize that. Secondly, faith-driven consumers recognize stewardship. And we all have a concept of God's asking us to freely return to Him some of the bounty that He has given us. Many call that a tithe. And so it's a stewardship issue in that the question being, does God care about the 90% that we keep for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an opportunity to be a good steward of what God has given us. And the third thing is God calls us to be salt and light, to make a difference in our culture and the people around us. And like you described, the Human Rights Campaign has been extremely successful at influencing the culture through their spending. We have that same opportunity to affect the culture and to say to businesses, hey, you receive a profit for the business that we do with you. And a profit being defined as a reward that a brand receives for giving people what they need and they want. So they do that, and we're strong proponents of capitalism. The question is, are we an accomplice to what they do with that profit if we say nothing? And this is an opportunity to use the $1.75 trillion that faith-driven consumers spend annually to have an impact. That's the triple bottom line, and that's why we believe that it's a Christian's opportunity, if not obligation, to stand by the Word of God and spend their money in a manner that impacts our culture, our own lives, and makes a difference.
All right, so let's put this in context. I appreciate the clarity of your thought there. And of course, I agree with your points fundamentally and specifically. Let's think about this for a minute. We're constantly encouraging folks to become what we call torchbearers of our ministry, basically supporting our ministry with about a dollar a day to be kind of the backbone of what we do. And we're really glad to have torchbearers joining us on a regular basis. But let's think of this for a minute. A dollar a day compared to what people spend on other things, be it going to McDonald's in a rush coming home from school with the kids, be it buying a new big screen TV, be it buying a new automobile, be it buying winter clothes, be it buying Christmas gifts, whatever. You're talking about money that dwarfs that. When we talk about the 10% that many people give to their local church on a regular basis, that's wonderful. But this other money that we're spending on a regular basis dwarfs all that. You're saying that that just in our everyday buying and our everyday purchasing, that we can actually make quality, godly decisions that make a difference?
Absolutely. And the unfortunate thing is that the 10% number that we talk about is not the reality. The reality is probably 2 to 3%.
Yeah, exactly.
People actually give.
Exactly.
So what can we do? We're expecting to do all of the works God has called us with 2 or 3%. We're overlooking the 97% that we keep for ourselves and the impact that we can make with that.
All right. Give me an example of a company that scores well on your survey and an example of a company that scores poorly.
Okay. We have a ranking of 1 to 5 stars, 5 stars being the best. At this point, the highest score we've ever given is a 4.5 because we recognize that nobody's perfect.
Okay.
I think that a slam dunk here is Hobby Lobby. They have stood by their biblical values. They have put themselves at economic risk by taking a position that aligns with their faith and honors God. So that would be a clear example. There are other examples. We might take Abercrombie and Fitch. Many of us go into the mall, and the first thing that we see when we pass the store might be a picture, an advertisement of what's available inside, or perhaps, as the situation may be, someone who has on less clothes than more. And we feel that that does not honor the biblical image, or that man was created in the image of God, and is that portrayal of a human being honoring to God? And we would say, by our understanding of the Bible, no, and therefore we have ranked them lower. Others may be ranked based upon their activism in a particular area. You've referred to the HRC scores. Many of those companies have been overtly active, and other companies may have scored on the other end of the spectrum well simply by taking a neutral position. Unfortunately, right, in our society, most of the companies that take an activist role are on the opposing side of a biblical view. And most of our higher scores are really based upon the fact that they've been neutral.
Right. So let's look at this.
Not a lot of activism on our side yet.
Yeah, I understand that. Let's look at this on a practical basis. We're not talking about trying to strong-arm people into becoming followers of Jesus or to force their hand. We're simply saying that we feel much better about spending money on companies that are not turning around and using that money against the things we value. So let's just say we lived in America 200 years ago, and there were companies that actively supported the slave trade and others that did not. As a Christian, would it have made sense to say, you know, even though this company has really good products that I really like, because I know they're turning around and using those profits to support the slave trade, I cannot ethically support that. Therefore, I'm going to spend my money somewhere else. You think that would have been a pretty logical choice for people back then, Chris? And why do we have a hard time thinking this through today sometimes?
Well, I think it's a great example. We're known by the company we keep and the people that we do business with. And if you had a moral conviction about slavery and you said, if I participate with this company, then I am not only violating that belief, but I am furthering the cause, then you could clearly find another company. And there are alternatives. You have a choice. And we're not saying one company is bad or one company is good. We simply say that they're more aligned, they're more compatible with, actually, with a biblical worldview than perhaps another. And we recognize that other groups have put forth, they've exercised their freedom of speech and choice to put forth their own agenda, and we're simply looking to be a part of the rainbow of diversity that we find in today's America.
And categories that you use to evaluate, you're looking at pro-life, you're looking at where they stand on biblical sexuality, marriage and family, non-pornographic materials, wholesome entertainment, social responsibility, philanthropy, corporate responsibility. Are there really many companies that, aside from a Hobby Lobby, that are holding the line at all? I mean, the general impression you get is that it seems that everybody's on the other side of these days.
Well, there has been some progress in a number of areas. Some hotels are limiting or removing pornographic materials from their pay channels. Other people are including Christmas, as simple as using the term Christmas in their advertising. People who have said, no, we're going to be more wholesome in our entertainment. There are people that are doing that, and even major motion picture companies, while they may be producing rather graphic or adult-oriented movies, are also simultaneously putting out movies and content that is suitable for a Christian audience. So there is some movement in the marketplace.
All right. We come back. I just want to talk about what kind of message we could send to businesses and where we put our money, what difference it makes.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you hear that sound, you hear that music, O come, Emmanuel. To many, that reminds you just of a great hymn. To many, that reminds you of something that's sung particularly at the time of Christmas. On Monday, we'll be having our annual Christmas debate. Is it right for believers to celebrate Christmas? Is this a good time to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Is it the wrong time? Is it a pagan holiday? Should we have Christmas trees? Monday is the day to debate that. But here's the reality. A whole lot of money is being spent at this time. That is the reality. And does it matter where we spend our money? Chris Stone is the founder of Faith-Driven Consumer. Chris, some years ago, we got active in the greater Charlotte area dealing with some issues having to do with homosexual activism. We interacted with Starbucks. We showed them some really vulgar things they were supporting. And they said, well, that's what we want to do. We want to celebrate diversity. But when I asked if they would get behind a pro-life event or the like, they immediately shut me down. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker anyway, but out of conscience, I don't give my money to Starbucks. The fact is, if I tried to practice that across the board, I probably couldn't use the computer I use. I couldn't be on a cell phone. I couldn't use the credit cards I use because so many of these companies actively support gay activist causes. I just made a personal choice because of my own dealing with the company. Can we actually send a message, Chris? And can your organization help us send a message to companies whose bottom line is profit to say, you know, if you're either neutral in the culture wars or you take a positive stance, you'll get our business. Can we make a difference?
Absolutely. If you look at Starbucks as an example, they have taken a clear position. You ask yourself, why did they do that? Because someone came and spoke out and said, this is an agenda that we would appreciate that you support. And Starbucks chose to do that. And the HRC's president, in that letter that you read, he has a lot to tout. He has a lot to celebrate because they have been very, very successful, because they've been very, very active. And Christians have, by and large, talked about boycott, and they have been, to a great degree, successful. But the question that you asked is, now that I'm boycotting brand A, what do I do? Our job is to provide a resource to give you the answer to that question. And within the next couple of days on faithdrivenconsumer.com, there will be an opportunity to go on the website and to select a company that you can thank with a pre-written letter, so it's very easy. You can thank them for what they've done. And if a company is not doing very well, in your opinion, you can encourage them to do better. And it's not about boycotts. It's what we call a buycott. We're encouraging people to select companies that they feel good about and then let those companies know, hey, thank you for recognizing us. Thank you for welcoming us into your business.
So it's just part of our holistic role as believers in the world, and it's part of our stewardship. It's not walking in front of a place with signs and yelling and screaming. It's simply being Christian, isn't it?
Absolutely. We show love for people. That doesn't mean that we need to agree with everything that they do or celebrate their actions, but we love them, and we do that by encouraging them and offering them to come alongside us in business and say, look, you don't have to exclude everybody else just to do business with us. We just simply want to be included, but if we don't let them know, if we don't let them know what's important to us, then what can we expect?
Absolutely. So, Chris, how can folks connect via websites, social media? What's the best way they can connect with what you're doing?
Well, the first thing that I would recommend people do is come to the website, which is faithdrivenconsumer.com, and they can explore the blogs there. They can explore the resources, which would include, while we have a Christmas guide, it's there 24/7, 365. We're always adding companies, and see which companies are best reflecting your values and make your own choice. We don't tell people where to shop and where not to shop. We provide a resource that allows them to decide. And in doing so, if they would then go and let those companies know, hey, we appreciate you, we thank you for the actions that you're taking, or we would encourage you to do better, then it's taking a very proactive way, in a pleasant way, in a Christian-like way, to say, hey, there's an alternative. And from our research, we found that Christians really don't like to be negative. They don't like to say bad things or say we don't like you. They much prefer to say things like, hey, thank you. And that's the opportunity we've provided them.
And if they want to connect on Facebook?
Facebook, Twitter. We just ranked number 12 in the world under the hashtag of faith.
Really?
We're connecting with a lot of people in that area. We launched this online community in August. And in August, there might have been 300 people in our community, and it's grown to over 40,000 in just a matter of 4 months.
Terrific.
We had tremendous response. Facebook likes went from nothing to, I think it's in the mid-30,000 range now, in just 4 months. God has really blessed this, and the Christian community has blessed it. Faith-driven consumers have rallied because they're hungry for an opportunity to find places that they feel welcome and where they can encourage companies to do things, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the profitable thing to do. And that's what businesses are in business for.
Good.
And it's
positive on top of it. People, as you say, can get tired of the negative messages. Hey, Chris, I am one of your faith-driven consumers, so thanks for what you're doing. Much needed, much appreciated, and may the Lord smile on your endeavors that we'll look back at this a year from now, stunned by what he's done.
Yes, and we thank you for that, and we ask that your listeners would pray for us that we may glorify God with the plan he has for us.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Chris. Thanks so much. FaithDrivenConsumer.com. All right. Next half hour, I'm going to take some calls. If you were unable to get in yesterday, the discussion about hell, future punishment, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Can I make a personal appeal to each of you who appreciate this radio broadcast? Each of you who appreciate the multifaceted ministry we do, from being on the front lines without fear of the most pressing moral cultural issues to tackling the major theological controversy in the body to engaging daily in Jewish ministry to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel, going to the nations and sending out laborers to the nations. If you appreciate what we're doing, would you stand with us? The end of the year is always an important time for ministries. That's honestly the truth. Many people are still giving year-end tax-deductible gifts. Would you stand with us? Some of you can be very generous and help us. You've been praying about where to put money. Maybe the Lord will prompt you to give in this direction. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And for your year-end generous tax-deductible gift, I'll send you a free signed copy of my book, Authentic Fire. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Many of you were trying to get through yesterday unsuccessfully. Our phone lines were jammed as we talked about the subject of hell and future punishment with Mr. Edward Fudge. If you'd like to continue that discussion today, if you have a point you wanted to raise, a question you wanted to raise on either side, and I'm more than able to give a response as to how Mr. Fudge would respond as well, by all means, give us a call, 866-348-7884. I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. But first, a really, really exciting announcement for all of my friends listening right now on WMCA in New York City. Mark this on your calendar, Thursday afternoon, January 9th. Put it on your calendar. Thursday afternoon, January 9th, we'll be giving you a website where you can register and get a ticket for the event. This will be hosted by WMCA and the American Bible Society. I will be broadcasting live from the American Bible Society 2 to 3 in the afternoon on January 9th. That means you'll be able to come and sit in and watch. We've never done this before in any city. You'll be able to sit in and watch a live broadcast January 9th that will be followed by Kevin McCullough's live broadcast. I'll join him as well for part of his broadcast from 3 to 4 and then from 4 to 6. So come for whatever part you're able. From 4 to 6, I'll be giving a brief talk about my new books, Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire. I'll be fielding some questions from you, and then I'll be doing a book signing for both of those books. So please mark it down. All of our friends listening on Long Island, on Dove Radio, or Hope Radio, excuse me, we will be out Wednesday night, January 8th. Wednesday night, January 8th in Freeport. I'll be speaking for my dear friend, Pastor Gaspar, at Word of Life Fellowship Wednesday night. I'll also be doing a book signing and a meet and greet there. And then Thursday morning, we'll be doing a pastor's leaders event in Suffolk County. We'll be announcing those details shortly. So please put those on your calendar. I want to connect with as many of you as possible in the New York, Long Island area. New Jersey, hey, Jersey, come over from Jersey for the Manhattan event. 866-348-7884. Okay, I have some questions for you regarding hell and future punishment. Those of you who believe that people will be consciously suffering forever, that there will be eternal fire, whether that's a metaphor or not, it is a ghastly thought, a dreadful thought. There will be eternal conscious suffering for the lost. You believe, in that sense, in the traditional view of hell. May I ask you how that affects your life? May I ask you if you are actually living as if people are perishing? May I ask you if you carry a burden that is commensurate with that belief? Now, for those of you who believe in some form of annihilation, that the dead will be raised, that they will receive the just punishment for their sins, but they will ultimately be annihilated, eternal destruction, eternal death. Has that lessened your burden for the lost? Or if you thought that there would be an end to someone's suffering, however dreadful the suffering would be, that there would be an end to that suffering, would that lessen the burden that you have to reach out to a lost and dying world? Would you be willing to leave everything, go on the mission field, and serve there the rest of your life? These are important questions to talk about, and we will right here on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884.
Flame, send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I hear that, and I don't hear it primarily as a Christmas song. I hear it in terms of a song of redemption for Israel. That's what it talks about, isn't it? And Emmanuel is a name from the Hebrew Scriptures, first and foremost, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 8, and then, of course, in Matthew 1. But it becomes a song sung of the incarnation. What are we to think at this time of the year? Be sure to join me on Monday for our annual debate. We've had it just about every year for 5 years or so. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? Should Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus at all? Should we celebrate it this time of year? If so, how should we celebrate it? I'm not debating the point. I am facilitating a radio debate where you can call in on both sides of the issue. That will be Monday, both hours. Also, tomorrow, got a really interesting program. There is a gentleman, a Jewish man, who is now living, I guess, as a Russian Orthodox monk, who has become somewhat of an internet sensation and who blasts Israel today and the Jewish people in ways that, in my view, are standard anti-Semitic libels. Brother Nathaniel will be interacting with some of his video clips tomorrow on our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Also, I was talking to Nancy after the show yesterday. I said, I can't believe it. I got so focused on the show about hell and future punishment and so on that I didn't even celebrate this on the air. I did on social media, but I didn't celebrate on the air what yesterday is, December 17th. That's my spiritual birthday anniversary. I first began to believe November 12th of 71, but the point of surrender, the point when I said I'll never put a needle in my arm again and absolutely said, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, was December 17th, 1971. So a very rich, wonderful day of celebration for me. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, let's go to David in Mesa, Arizona. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I got a question for you. So there are hundreds of thousands of people who died before even Jesus Christ was born, whether that was the North and South American continent or Australia. And I just can't see how God would allow those hundreds of thousands of people who never even had the opportunity to even know who Jesus Christ was to suffer in eternity. I mean, my own personal opinion is that as soon as their suffering is equal to the sins they've committed, I don't see why God wouldn't end their suffering if the suffering they have dealt with is equal to the sins they've committed, especially mm-hmm. considering that they never had an opportunity to know who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah, David, that's certainly a very reasonable way of thinking. In other words, I don't criticize you for saying that and chastise you by saying, well, you don't understand how bad sin is. From a human viewpoint, I do understand that. Here's my question. First, do you have scripture that supports that? That's the first thing. Let me just give you a second question, okay? Let's say for those who've heard the gospel and rejected it. Now, a lot of it has to do with upbringing, culture, and background, humanly speaking. Say a traditional Jew or traditional Muslim raised with other faiths, let's say they hear the gospel and reject it, do they deserve to suffer forever and ever and ever and ever, according to your view?
Well, I've known a lot of people, well, looking at, like, the Al-Qaeda people, I mean, they're raised from day one that Jews and Christians are all evil, and let's say they die a suicide bombing or whatever, let's say they just die early, and from day, well, I guess your question is if they have the chance to hear it.
I'm talking about someone correct? That's heard the gospel, okay? Let's just say your average American in the course of life, they They hear the gospel from a coworker or in some other context or family member or friend, and they reject the gospel. Does that person deserve eternal punishment?
I believe that person deserves some form of punishment and suffering, but I don't think it's going to be eternal. And I guess from the scriptures I would reference would be 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where it talks about how Jesus Christ preached to those who are dead. And I'm assuming Christ is giving them an opportunity to at least share the gospel to those who already passed on without the opportunity. I don't see why he wouldn't be. I still think people who have that opportunity will still suffer, but seeing that God is somewhat just to those who never had the opportunity to hear the gospel, I don't see how he's going to be just with those who had the opportunity, but I don't think it's going to be.
Right. You still have an issue with eternal punishment for anyone, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Right. From a human standpoint, that's understandable. The question is our human standpoint flawed? 1 Peter 3, I would challenge your thinking on that, because the Greek word for proclaim the gospel, euangelizomai or euangelizo, is not used here. It's a different word that's used, and it simply means he went and made proclamation. And the best way to understand that is that he proclaimed his victory. In other words, that he sealed the fate of these spirits in who were imprisoned beforehand. And it does clearly speak of them existing after death. So I think the bigger questions are, David, what does the scripture say? And this much we know, it does speak of dreadful judgment for all those who reject God. And as I said to Mr. Fudge on the air yesterday, I'm quite content to use biblical language. And I think this is what you need to do, David, all right? I think you need to embrace whatever Scripture does say. Leave the hidden things to the Lord, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And this is spoken to ancient Israel. Those things which are open and revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this Torah, all the words of this law. So in other words, here's what God says, and we'll act on that for ourselves. The secret things belong to him. What happened to someone who lived and died 4,000 years ago in a remote part of the world, or in a remote part of the world today, or was raised in such a way that they never heard the gospel, that's obviously between them and God. We're not their judge. God is. Let's also remember, though, that human beings choose evil, that human beings willingly choose evil, that we willingly come under judgment, that we constantly sin against revealed light and harden our hearts, every human being, meaning I certainly don't have hope for these. Now, you don't either. You're saying, okay, they should be punished accordingly. But what I'd encourage you to do is this. Look at scriptural language. For example, in Romans, the second chapter, where Paul is making these large, generic statements, and he says that God will render to each one according to his works. And he says there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. And I would say, okay, God, you are a just God, and you are going to bring serious, severe, irreversible, dreadful judgment on all those who do evil and on all those who reject your mercy. And therefore, I'm going to pray for them with a broken heart, and I'm going to warn them, and I'm going to offer them eternal life in Jesus. As for those who've not heard or the exact precise nature of the punishment, that's for God to deal with. So, David, I just encourage you to keep renewing your mind by Scripture. And the one caution I'd have is to be sure to see God as he is and to see human beings as we are through his view, through his vision, rather than through ours. Thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. 866-348-7884. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, I said that many years ago, probably over 40 years ago, I was driving in my car and I heard a Seventh-day Adventist presenting scripture to say that human beings are not tormented forever or suffering, punishing forever, but are cut off, are destroyed, perish, come to an end. I heard all the scriptures that were used. I had come fresh off in those days, memorizing 20 verses a day and reading the Bible day and night. And there was a, it was almost like a computer program with an instant grid. If something, you know, Jehovah's Witness would make a claim instantly, all these verses would shoot up in my mind. And of course, I've stayed in the Word ever since. But I remember hearing this position stated. I remember hearing it laid out. And I thought, yeah, I see where that's coming from, but I see other verses against it. And many years ago, I said, you know what I'm going to do? Rather than explaining, in other words, when it says hell, it means this, 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 and using language that wasn't in Scripture, or where it says the punishment of the wicked, using verses that wasn't, that weren't in Scripture, I'm just going to quote the Scripture on it, because the Scripture is devastating enough, and let God's Word warn directly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, can I share something with you that's really neat, that blessed me? One reader of Authentic Fire, Katie, said this: Dr. Brown, I'm in awe at the book Authentic Fire. I purchased it yesterday and found myself unable to put it down. It is so clear, well thought out, orderly, and well written. I do not know how any cessationist could read this book and remain one upon an honest and prayerful examination of the facts laid out. Then Joel wrote, I bought your Authentic Fire book online last night. I'm almost finished reading it. It's amazing, interesting, loving, accurate, inspired, and inspiring. I couldn't put it down. It's the best thing to come out of the Strange Fire Conference. And folks appreciate the tone of the book as well. Remember, you can download it right now. Just go to Amazon.com, type in Authentic Fire. You can download the book right now. It continues to create interest on Amazon. If you don't have a Kindle e-reader, just download the app for your cell phone, for your tablet, for your Mac or your PC. The app is free. You can begin reading in moments. That's Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. You'll find the book builds up rather than tears down. And for more info, if you want to read some samples of articles of from chapters, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article. I'll tell you in a minute how you can get a print copy as well. Let's go to Manalapan, New Jersey. And Robert, thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call, and welcome back.
Thanks.
My question is, prior to the Lord coming, our Savior Jesus, anyone that was born before then, though they believed in God, did they still need a Savior to go to heaven? Or what happened to the person who didn't know Jesus but believed in God, as opposed to an atheist who, prior to Jesus and even to today, doesn't believe in God, and when you're dead, that's it, nothing happens to you? Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert, the previous caller, David, was not disputing people's guilt or lostness, right? He was talking about the nature of the punishment. You're talking about the larger question of how one could come into right relationship with God. And this
Correct.
Is what we see from Scripture, that God requires us to respond to the light that is given to us. So we see in Galatians 3, it says that Abraham believed the gospel. But what gospel did he hear? Did he hear the full gospel message of the Son of God coming into the world and dying on the cross and rising from the dead? Certainly not. What did he hear? Well, he heard seed form. He heard how through his seed, literal seed form, through his seed, the entire world would be blessed. And you could also argue that through the binding of Isaac and lessons learned there, his willingness to sacrifice his son, that God could have instructed him. But he certainly didn't hear the whole message, yet he heard a core of it. What he heard, he believed. That would be the key thing for any Israelite that had received the law of God, to believe in the God who sent that law and walk in obedience to it. And through the law, there was a foundation where one would come for mercy through the sacrificial system and through repentance. So that would also be a seed of the gospel. And even when we get saved, how fully did we understand the gospel when we got saved? You know, we understood part of it, then we understand it more as we go on. So I would say that it's simply a matter of responding to the light that we have, and God judges us based on that and then brings us into more insight and revelation. Remember, Paul said that God had mercy on him because he acted ignorantly and in unbelief. So this is a learned Jew in the first century, and yet he said he was acting ignorantly and in unbelief. That's one reason God had mercy on him.
Well, isn't it, and thank you for sharing that, but isn't it true, I believe in Romans 1:18, that God writes his law on our heart? So even if a person was dumb, deaf, blind, and couldn't speak, that they would know internally that there is a God, a creator, an intelligent creator that created us, and we didn't come from animals or apes.
No one in the ancient world was thinking about us developing from animals or anything like that. But let's put aside the question of someone who was blind, deaf, dumb, and couldn't see the outside world. Yes, there is a revelation of God in nature. And yes, the law of God is written in our hearts. Paul talks about that in Romans 1 and 2. So what we agree on is that everyone's accountable. In other words, there's no argument about that. Everyone is accountable. There is no human being who is guiltless. The question is, to what level of accountability? How much light do we have? And what are we able to respond to? So your initial question, did a person need to have a concept of a savior specifically? Well, obviously, if they recognize their need for help and they cried out to God that they understood was the creator and they knew their need, well, that's as far as they understand. In the fullness of time, God reveals more and more. And the more that's revealed, the more people are responsible for it. But without question, the whole world stands guilty before God. All of us fall short. We're either convicted by our own hearts, the witness of God written on our hearts, or through the preaching of the message, or through the law of God. And then, of course, especially in the pre-scientific days when no one questioned God the Creator, of course, the revelation of God in nature. Hey, Robert, got to run, but thank you for the call. I'm going to be posting a little while on Facebook the invitation to sign up for a radio broadcast with Kevin McCullough and myself, 2 to 4 p.m., January 9th at American Bible Society in New York City. And then for a book signing, I'll be signing copies of both Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire. Both of them I'll be signing at the book signing. So you'll be able to purchase them there, and then we'll be signing the book. So please, everyone listening on WMCA, if you can get free in the afternoon or get off work a little early to join us, it's going to be a great, great time, January 9th. But you'll need a ticket to get in, and the tickets are free. Go to WMCA.com. You can find out more there, and we'll be getting the info out on our website as well. All right, so how do you get a copy of the print version of Authentic Fire? You say, I just go to my local bookstore. No, it's not available there. Well, I'll just call some other ministry that's, no, they're being printed on demand just for us. This was a special arrangement because we got it out quickly as an ebook. Working with Excel Publishers, we're able to get this out in print. But it's only through our ministry, 420-page book with wonderful contributions from Craig Keener, Sam Storms, and others as well as what I've written. So the book with postage is a $25 value. We're asking, though, if you could be generous with a year-end tax-deductible gift. We want to send you Authentic Fire as our thank you gift, and I'll sign it when we send it out as well. It may not arrive in time for Christmas, but the big thing is to get the book. So call right now with your year-end tax-deductible gift, which we really appreciate. From my heart, thank you. 1-800-278-9978. Don't look at this as a book purchase, but as standing with us as we stand on the front lines to touch this world. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, every one of us, big or small, famous or unknown, every one of us, as we obey the Lord, we can make a difference. Whoa, could it be that polygamy is coming our way?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, look, I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to say I told you it was coming. I would rather be wrong. I would honestly rather be wrong. Unfortunately, I'm not. Many others are not. We have been warning about where things are going in society, and here they come. However, Jesus is Lord. However, there is an answer for God's people. However, if we will seek him earnestly and stand up for what is right, our nation can be touched and changed. But the hour is more urgent than many of us realize. Michael Brown, welcome. Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It is Wednesday, and often on Wednesdays, we focus on moral and cultural issues. That's what we are doing today. Oh, just looking at some of my stack of articles here. GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I've renamed them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. GLAAD denounces Duck Dynasty star for remarks about gays. Wow. That's interesting. The Southern Poverty Law Center files suit against Moss Point schools over anti-LGBT harassment. Oh, the list goes on and on. Ohio mom accuses other parents of bullying her transgender daughter. There was a boy who identifies as a girl. ABC just, 3 weeks ago, polyamory, the end of marriage, and then an article from Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. I now pronounce you man and wives. Look, from a biblical perspective, saying marriage is the union of two men, saying marriage is the union of two women, is far more radical and a far more radical redefinition of marriage than to simply talk about polygamy, one man with several or many wives. Do I advocate polygamy? Of course not. Do I believe Scripture ultimately advocates it? Of course not. Do I believe it's wrong? Absolutely. Do I believe that it is inevitable in America once we have redefined marriage to say it could be the union of any two people? It could well be. It is certainly the direction in which we are going. So I'm going to tell you about a major court decision, the implications of that court decision, why Tony Perkins has written this article, I now pronounce you man and wives. And then after that, Well, let's talk about polygamy. What does the Bible actually say about that? And then a few other things going on in the society. 866-34-TRUTH. Also, if you wanted to get in on the program yesterday to discuss the issue of hell and future punishment and were unable to get through, unable to call in, I may take some calls later in the broadcast about that. Hey, put this on your calendar. Tomorrow, we don't have to put that on the calendar, remember, it's just tomorrow, I will be interacting with some remarks that I consider to be vile, anti-Semitic, by a Jewish man on the internet who is now living as a Russian Orthodox priest. And then Monday, December 23rd, it will be our annual Christmas debate. So put it on your calendar, Monday, December 23rd. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? Should they celebrate the birth of Jesus at all? Should they celebrate at this time of the year? Another time of the year is their own type of Christmas tree. Is it pagan? All that on Monday.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. You say, I like positive stuff. I like positive stuff. Okay, here's positive. Jesus is Lord. Here's positive. God sits on his throne. Here's positive. If you know him, you're going to be with him forever and ever. But friends, the Bible is not positive only, is it? The Bible talks about failings of God's people. The Bible talks about judgment that God brought on his people. Look, I wrote a 550-page commentary in the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Jeremiah is not all positive. I'm in the midst of what could be an even longer commentary in the book of Job, and the book of Job is not only positive, and life is not only positive. And if you just want a positive, 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 God, hey, praise the Lord, go to my church. It's Positive Church. We're positive, positive, positive. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm positive, I'm positive. Praise the Lord, I'm positive. That is not just superficial. That is unreal. That's not real life. I mean, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's trouble. There's hardship. There's difficulty in this world. Satan, according to 2 Corinthians 4, is the god of this age. He's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. According to 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. So there's a lot of junk going on there. So I'd rather not know about it. Is that responsible? Here, if I'll give you an example. 866-34-TRUTH. When we lived on Long Island, it was 1985, I believe, and there was a major hurricane coming. The last time there had been one of that magnitude, it did a tremendous amount of damage on the island, and there was concern that this one could be similar. I mean, that one was, what, in the 1920s? There have been other hurricanes, but not on this magnitude. So we were in our house. In those days, we didn't have a TV. As we were raising our kids, we didn't have TV. We could watch a video on a screen, but we didn't have TV connection in the house. So we're listening on the radio. We're listening on the radio, and at this point, I'm almost sure it was 1985. So our first daughter, Jennifer, was born in 1977. Our second daughter, Meg, in 1978. So they're pretty little girls at this point. And you could hear the storm is getting closer. You can hear it's getting closer. And we're listening on the radio to the reports. It's now come into this area. It's getting closer and closer. And it's this, and it's this, and it's this. And I remember Jen, our older daughter, said, why do we just listen? It's just bad news. Why do we need to hear? And then next thing, power goes out. No more radio. Next thing, you know, the darkness and then the shaking winds. And then boom, you know, we had trees in the backyard, like 60 feet tall, boom, fall right on the house. And it was intense. I mean, when we went outside a few minutes later, it looked like a bomb had dropped on the roads there. But you said, why do we need to hear bad news? Well, to prepare. And not just that, it's because we have good news to counter it with. I'm not talking about a hurricane right now. I'm talking about what's happening in society. And being forewarned is being forearmed. And don't we have a responsibility to our kids and our grandkids? Would you live in such a way personally that when you died, a $500,000 debt would be passed on to your kids and your grandkids? God forbid. Well, would we live in such a way, should we live in such a way that now puts our kids and grandkids in a society that has a completely different understanding of marriage and that rejects biblical values? Tony Perkins writes this: turns out marriage isn't about two people who love each other. It's about three or five or six. That was Judge Clark Wadup's opinion in the most explosive ruling the media isn't talking about. Late last week, the U.S. District Judge's ruling should have kicked off the evening news in every major market across America. Instead, his 91-page pro-polygamy bombshell is nothing but a back-page blip. And that's no accident. When Wadoops struck down Utah's criminal ban on plural marriages last Friday, the network started tiptoeing around the story like the cultural grenade it is. Why? Why? Well, as Tony Perkins says, they know the left's dirty little secret that people who support same-sex marriage are saying I do to a lot more than they bargained for. In other words, once you redefine marriage, you have redefined marriage. once you fundamentally adjust it and say it's not just the union of a man and a woman, but the union of two people, well, then why not three or four or five? There is no logical reason to argue against that, especially if the parties are adults and are willing, and this is what they want to do. Hey, isn't the argument for, quote, marriage equality? Isn't the argument I have the right to marry the one I love? Isn't the argument love is love? Doesn't the government do the wrong thing by intruding in marriage? Well, these are all the arguments used for two men or two women marrying. Well, why not one man with two or three or four women? If the women say it's good and they want it, and the man says it's good, and supposedly the children feel it's positive over the year, well, why not? That is the whole argument. 866-34-TRUTH. Now let me go a little further with this. It's not just the court ruling, okay? Because this court ruling has not finally and forever changed things, but it has opened a big door, okay? There is more to the story. It is not just the court ruling. It is the reaction to the court ruling. So here is Mark Goldfelder. This was published on Monday, December 16th, CNN.com. It's time to reconsider polygamy. Yeah. Why not? No, these are not my words. I do not say it's time to reconsider polygamy. No. Marriage must be as defined by God in its ideal form and what is best for society, one man, one woman, united together for life. I'm saying it's inevitable that people are going to raise these things. So who's Mark Goldfelder, or Goldfeder, excuse me? Mark Goldfeder is a senior, a senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Law and Religion. Boy, I just got choked up saying that. Senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Law and Religion at Emory University, senior lecturer at Emory Law School, and adjunct professor of law at Georgia State University College of Law. In other words, he is a prominent legal thinker. He says polygamy is back in the headlines. Last week, a federal judge in Utah struck down part of the state's anti-polygamy law as unconstitutional, although he kept the ban on possessing more than one marriage license at a time. Fans of the Sister Wives reality TV stars who filed the suit are rejoicing in the news. Yes, the stars of Sister Wives said, this is not fair. This is discriminatory. Of course it is going to go in this direction. And he's saying, yes, it should be reconsidered. This is what he says. The time has come to address this discrepancy. What's the discrepancy? When the Supreme Court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act in U.S. versus Windsor in June, opening the door to federal recognition of same-sex marriage, it also set the stage for a discussion of plural marriage. But of course, how could it be otherwise? Reading from a story in the L.A. Times, John M. Gliana. Advocates for so-called plural marriages are applauding a ruling by a U.S. District Court judge that struck down key segments of Utah's anti-polygamy law, saying they violated constitutional rights to privacy and religious freedom. Hey, when the media is pushing things like Big Love, when the media is pushing things like Sister Wives, you say, I don't watch those shows. Well, I don't either. But a whole lot of people do. Millions of people have viewed these shows which celebrate polygamy and others which celebrate polyamory. Multiple, quote, loving relationships within the same home. It could be one woman, three men. It could be two couples. It could be any number of arrangements. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of such families in America. Hey, if you're going to redefine, why not redefine more radically? 866-34-TRUTH. You say, oh, I'm going to throw in the towel. Well, why? Why? Why give up? Well, I can't worry about that. I just got to keep my head above water. Well, how about keeping your head above water? And trust me, understand, life can be tough. Understand, you know, financial collapse, health collapse, social issues come up. and just surviving is difficult enough. But I want to encourage you to say in the Lord, you're an overcomer. And if we look, most of us vote, don't we? So we vote for candidates that are going to stand for the right side of an issue. We all pray, can't we? We can pray when God can and God can pour out His Spirit and grant repentance. We can share the gospel and win the lost. We can live godly, holy lives. We can make a difference. Why throw in the towel? In fact, the darker and crazier things become in society, better time it is for us to stand and shine the light.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's just listen to a little bit from ABC News about having multiple parents, a few moms. Why not? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to clip number 18, when your child is asked about having two moms.
When children have two mothers, they're going to be faced with a lot of questions from their peers and from other adults who are curious or confused about what this means. For example, my kids' friends always ask them, which one is the real mother?
All right. And ABC. I got a whole bunch of clips from ABC News. This is Kids in the House. Got it. ABC News, we're coming next. So clip number 19.
They're both real. One gave birth to me, one adopted me. They can say, how many mothers do you have? And that kind of makes the other kid think, oh, is it weird to just have one mom? That turns it around a little bit. And they can choose to say, that's my business, if they don't want to explain themselves to this person. And they can choose to say, families are all different, and love is what makes a family. So they have learned all the different things that they're comfortable with through their own trial and error and through our conversations. And they were gifted with wonderful books that helped instill this in them from a very young age.
Hey, look, kids are kids, and we want to show all the love we can to kids. We want to affirm kids however we can, but the idea that, hey, you might have a few moms. Why? Because of, say, a lesbian household. You may have a couple of dads, and is there anything wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is that they don't have a dad or they don't have a mom by design. What's wrong with that is by design, people are depriving a child of either a mother or a father, as opposed to a single-parent household where the goal is to have another parent in that household. If you've got a mom raising a kid, the goal would be to have a father there or to have a husband there to help so the kid has the benefit of a mom and a dad. It's not to say that the moms don't love the kid or the dads don't love the kid. It's simply to say this is not what was intended. This is not what is best. All right, let's go to the phone. Sue in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I would just like to say I agree with you 110%. But I would like to take things a step further. I feel that if we can marry a different gender, then we should be able to marry a different species. And I would like to marry my dog because then I can claim her as a dependent and I can get health insurance for her.
Yeah, now here's the thing, Sue. Obviously, we all recognize that there's a difference between a relationship that two men would have or two women would have versus the relationship of a person with a pet or an inanimate object. But the fact of the matter is,
I love my dog.
Right, right. The fact of the matter is, once you redefine marriage, again, if marriage is the union of a man and a woman, here, my simple illustration, ABC is not math. 2 + 2 = 4 is not spelling. A man plus a man or a woman plus a woman is not marriage.
Exactly.
So, right. So once you redefine it so fundamentally to say it's not the union of a man and a woman, it's the union of two people, Yes, in point of fact, you had a situation last year, I wrote about it, where a woman married herself.
Oh.
And you've had situations now with people marrying pets and marrying inanimate objects. Yeah. I mean, these things have happened in different parts of the world. I've written about some. In fact, Sue, if you just give, when we're done with this call, give Dwight your email address, then we'll send you a couple of articles that I wrote that are relative to this. These things have actually happened already.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And in some cases, it's been dead serious that people have had different types of attractions. And if love is love, where does one draw the line? So I want to be clear. I recognize that there may be two men or two women listening and they love each other very much. They've only been attracted to the same sex all their lives. They care for each other. They sacrifice for each other. They want to raise kids together. I understand that. And I'm not comparing that to the relationship of a human being with a pet. However, I am saying once you fundamentally redefine marriage, then the sky really is the limit. All right, Sue, give your email address to Dwight and we'll send you links to some relevant articles. Charles, I want to take your call, but I'm going to do it on the other side of the break so we don't have to rush into that. Johnny, let's just play one more clip. Let's go to clip number 20. This is ABC News.
One of my favorite things since we've all lived together is actually the fact that we do morning exercise. Like, it's so improved my life.
What do they all living together? Oh, well, why limit a relationship to one man, one woman? I mean, spice it up or enliven it or enrich it or expand it with more partners. One more clip, clip number 22.
They call what they have a pod, you know, like dolphins. They practice safe sex and total honesty.
So that first rule is really about making sure that we've created the space in order to have the conversation.
Hey, look, you've got polyamory, multiple loving relationships in the same household. You've got being what Dan Savage calls monogamish. So I mean, you're committed emotionally and sexually to primarily one person, but you can still have some flings with others. Just be open about it. One polygamy. I mean, polygamy is practiced around the world and it was even in the Bible. So why not polygamy? And on it goes once we begin to redefine marriage. Friends, we are approaching the end of the year. You get all kinds of appeals from ministries, organizations asking for year-end gifts, and for good reason. You're giving tax-deductible gifts at the end of the year, and this is a time that's often critical for ministries and organizations that are donor-based, as we are. Do you appreciate this broadcast? Are we making a difference in your life being on the air? Are we contributing something necessary and important? Would there be a major gap if we were not on the air? You couldn't listen to us on the radio or online. Do you appreciate the fact that we're on the front lines of Jewish evangelism? Do you appreciate the fact that we're standing up for moral righteousness in society at the same time walking in love towards those we differ with? Do you appreciate the fact that we are going to the nations and raising up and sending out laborers to the nations? Friends, as you help us, as you give to this one ministry, you're helping us on all these different fronts. And if you looked at our books, you looked at our budget, maybe you have a lot of money to invest and you're praying about it, you would be more than gratified to see where the money goes. So we're simply asking, and I'm asking from my heart, as we're running hard and we really do need your help, would you make a one-time year-end tax-deductible gift? Your gift of any size, we're just asking you to pray and be generous. I want to send you, as my thank you, a signed copy of Authentic Fire, my response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, which is getting rave reviews that we're thrilled with. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I don't know if you heard about this. Somehow I missed this. I'm pretty well up on the news, but I missed the fact that GLAAD, Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which in my observation is better termed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, and I'm on their list, by the way, their commentator accountability list of 36 conservative commentators that the media should not have on the air. That's right. My honor to be on their list. They have slammed Duck Dynasty for, quote, vile remarks in GQ magazine. Ooh, we'll talk about that in a minute. How's that going to play out? And what do you think, Matt? Do you think that Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty is going to apologize for his comments and meet with GLAAD to work out their differences? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the broadcast. If you are eager to read Authentic Fire, if you enjoy ebooks, if you like to read on your Kindle reader, or if you don't have a Kindle, you just download the free app on your smartphone, on your Mac, your PC, your tablet. If you've not yet downloaded Authentic Fire, it says 326 pages estimated in print length. It's actually about 420 print length pages and very, very nicely formatted in the ebook. I checked it out myself. Very nicely laid out and formatted. It's only $9.99 on Amazon. So it's a great deal, and you could start reading it immediately and find out why other people are so excited. I'm actually thrilled with the responses to the book. Even though I know that God stirred my heart to write, not to attack John MacArthur. No, you'll see I don't attack. Oh, I take strong issue with things I'm sure are misstatements and errors, and I do correct them, but with constant honor and with a constant call for deeper unity, and with a constant call to listen and learn from each other. So make sure you go to Amazon.com. The moment you ever, you got a five-minute break from work, you're waiting to pick someone up at school, download the book, start reading it. Amazon.com, Authentic Fire. I'll tell you later in the broadcast how you can get the print version. I'll come back to Duck Dynasty in a moment. The first half hour I was talking about a major court ruling in Utah last week that struck down some of the anti-polygamy regulations there. Polygamists are rejoicing in this. Others are saying, hey, it's inevitable once marriage is redefined. Of course it is. It has to go in that direction. Let's continue to discuss some of these issues about redefining marriage, and then I'll tell you what happened with Duck Dynasty in a moment. Let's go to Plant City, Florida. Well, I was ready to go. It was a relevant call to Plant City, Florida, and Charles, but I guess Charles couldn't hang on anymore. Or maybe he wanted to get off the air so he can immediately download his copy of Authentic Fire. Tell you what, real quick, let's start on the Duck Dynasty story. This is Ann Oldenburg reporting USA Today just this morning. Duck Dynasty is featured in a big spread in the January issue of GQ magazine. And in the story titled, What the Duck? Phil Robertson, founder of the Duck Commander Company and patriarch at the heart of A&E's hit reality show, doesn't hold back in talking about his beliefs, much to the dismay of GLAAD. Quote, we're Bible thumpers who just happen to end up on television. You put in your article that the Robertson family really believes strongly that if the human race loved each other and they loved God, we would just be better off. We ought to just be repentant, turn to God, and let's get on with it, and everything will turn around. As far as sin, this is what Phil Robertson has to say. Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Ooh, what's coming next? Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Duck Dynasty, getting criticized by GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Again, I've nicknamed them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement because they've made clear that they do not want opposing views aired through the media. 866-34-TRUTH. So, major article in GQ magazine, Phil Robertson, patriarch of the Duck Dynasty, says this on the subject of sin, quote, start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there, bestiality, sleeping around with this woman, that woman, and that woman, and those men. Then he paraphrases 1 Corinthians, don't be deceived, neither the adulterers, idolaters, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, greedy drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God, don't deceive yourself, it's not right. He goes on to say, it seems like to me, a woman would be more desirable. That's just me. I'm just thinking there's more there. She's got more to offer. I mean, come on, dudes. You know what I'm saying? But hey, sin, it's not logical, my man. It's just not logical. GLAAD issued a statement condemning the remarks as, quote, littered with outdated stereotypes and blatant misinformation. Well, just a question for GLAAD. Is it an outdated stereotype to say that biologically a man is designed to be with a woman? Is that an outdated stereotype? Is it an outdated stereotype to say that homosexual activism was part of the sexual revolution of the 1960s? Is it an outdated stereotype to say that there's an inevitability in terms of direction once you redefine marriage and redefine certain sexual boundaries that will even come down to the question of the meaning of gender? According to GLAAD spokesman Wilson Cruz, Phil and his family claim to be Christian, but Phil's lies about an entire community fly in the face of what true Christians believe. He clearly knows nothing about gay people or the majority of Louisianans and Americans who support legal recognition for loving and committed gay and lesbian couples. Phil's decision to push vile and extreme stereotypes is a stain on A&E and his sponsors who now need to reexamine their ties to someone with such disdain for LGBT people and families. Now, I didn't see him saying that every gay person is guilty of these other things. I see him saying that you open the door to one, you open the door to other things. Well, he has responded to his critics, and he says this. I myself am a product of the 60s. I centered my life around sex, drugs, and rock and roll until I hit rock bottom and accepted Jesus as my Savior. My mission today is to go forth and tell people about why I follow Christ and also what the Bible teaches. And part of that teaching is that women and men are meant to be together. However, I would never treat anyone with disrespect just because they are different from me. We are all created by the Almighty, and like Him, I love all of humanity. We would all be better off if we loved God and loved each other. So, is that the latest update? Here's a little bit more from the GQ article. Maybe I'll write something about this tonight. We'll see. Robertson also told GQ his family has lost their privacy since they were thrust into the limelight as stars of the hit show, but it was well worth it because the series has given him a platform to spread his religious beliefs. Quote, for the sake of the gospel, it was worth it. All you have to do is look at any society where there is no Jesus. I'll give you four. Nazis, no Jesus. Look at their record. Shintos, they started this thing in Pearl Harbor. Any Jesus among them? None. Communists, none. Islamists, zero. That's 80 years of ideologies that have popped up where no Jesus was allowed among those four groups. Just look at the records as far as murder goes among those four groups. As far as his fame lasting, let's face it, 3, 4, 5 years, we're out of here. You know what I'm saying? It's a TV show. This thing ain't going to last forever. No way. Now, I'm looking at some of the comments here, and I'm just looking at three. One calling them something very foul. Another commending them. Another commending them as well. Obviously, there's going to be a polarization from these comments. Now, let me say this. I could easily see him clarifying his remarks to say, I'm not saying that every homosexual couple or most homosexual couples engage in these other practices. or are engaging in all types of massive promiscuity. I'm simply saying you open the door to one sexual behavior that is contrary to the norm. You open it to others. However, he could rightly say that the behavior itself is sinful and wrong and completely contrary to what God ordained. He could absolutely rightly say that a man being with a man, a woman being with a woman, no matter how much it's their attraction, the only attraction they've ever had, is still fundamentally wrong and contrary to God's design and ultimately not in the best interest of society. So what about the question that we started with a little while back, the question of polygamy? What if someone says, okay, I understand your opposition to two men or two women, quote, marrying, that violates the fundamental definition of marriage and is completely spoken against in Scripture. But what about polygamy? Why is polygamy wrong? Why should we reject polygamy today? When I had Professor John Corvino on the air with me, he is a philosophy professor at Wayne State University, and he wrote a book, What's Wrong with Homosexuality? He himself a practicing homosexual and a non-religious man. He said the question of polygamy must be examined separately from the question of same-sex so-called marriage. And he said, look, if you think of it, it is mainly conservative religious groups that are advocating for polygamy, Mormons and others like that. Well, fair point, but nonetheless remains the same in terms of once you redefine marriage, you open up the door to these other redefinitions. Your average homosexual activist who is fighting for the redefinition of marriage so a man could marry a man or a woman marry a woman certainly was not thinking or desiring that this would now lead to polyamory, polygamy, and perhaps even adult incestuous relationships. However, the reality is you start tampering with the foundations and anything can happen. So, I would say quite plainly that stating that marriage is the union of two men or two women is far further down the slippery slope than is polygamy, that it represents a far more radical redefinition of marriage than does polygamy. Also, from a biblical viewpoint, polygamy, while not ideal in God's sight, while never his best for the human race, and while not the thing that we should advocate and support, nonetheless was allowed by concession. I'll explain that in a moment. Just as divorce was allowed by concession. In contrast, homosexual practice, homosexual relations are always condemned in Scripture as wrong. Now, you're listening, some of you are listening, and you're same-sex attracted, or you've got a family member, kid that's same-sex attracted. I didn't say that having a same-sex attraction condemns you or damns you. There are some very godly people I know who love the Lord and are serving the Lord and are living holy lives who are still attracted to the same sex. In other words, you can be, say, a heterosexual married man and you could still be attracted to other women, right? Even though you're married, you could still be attracted to other women. So you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your eyes. And you recognize, okay, that attraction is possible, but I will not yield to it or open the door to it or cultivate it, etc. Well, someone who is same-sex attracted doesn't have to be acting on it to recognize, okay, my attraction for that person, that would be to the same sex, that they have to watch their eyes with other people of the same sex. They have to watch their emotions with other people of the same sex. The attraction itself is not sin. The attraction itself is not damnable. God forbid. To be tempted is not damnable, but there are godly people I know, born-again believers, that have been completely delivered from same-sex attraction. They have gone from homosexual to heterosexual. I know some personally. There are others who love Jesus and are following him, and their attractions have not changed. They still are same-sex attracted, but they are living holy lives. They are fulfilled in the Lord. You say, yeah, but you're saying they could never marry. Well, if their attractions don't change, marriage would be unlikely, but they're blessed, they're fulfilled, their lives are enriched, they're enjoying the Lord. One pastor in England wrote a book, and I quoted in my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, which comes out in May. And this pastor said, yeah, he's same-sex attracted. People hear that and say, oh, it must be so hard for you. He says, no, Jesus requires everything from everyone. So he requires all of us to go to the cross and all of us to give him our whole lives. And he says, Jesus is enough for all of us. What about the question of polygamy? On what basis biblically do we speak against it and not feel it is in the best interest of our society? We'll take that up when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I explain something about being a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution? Obviously, that's a goal of this broadcast. When we launched nationally in March of 2011, we were already on a good number of stations around America, and then did a major national expansion into some of the biggest cities of America, March of 2011. Before we did that, a radio leader listened to many, 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 many broadcasts. Many, I mean a whole lot of broadcasts. And came back to me as we were thinking about perhaps rephrasing the intro, which got tweaked a little bit. He said, can we introduce you as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution? I said, wow, that really says it. That's really who we are and what we do here on the air. And what that means is that we really hope to bring moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church often in compromise. Have you ever had a situation where someone is making a case about something, or you're watching something on TV or movie or reading something, and it's like, that's a good point. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. And then someone says, you know, the Bible says this. It's like, oh, that's reality. Right, that's reality. Boom, clarity comes. That's what we hope to do on many, many, many issues. Not get emotional about it, not get worked up in the latest hype, but to step back and with sobriety and clarity and biblical foundation to say, well, think of it like this. Look at it like this. And to help you stand with clarity and express your views with clarity, that's our goal here on the broadcast, being a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And I know from hearing from so many of you and also knowing what God called me to do, I know that for many, as I'm speaking, you're saying, yeah, that's what I wanted to say, or that's what I believe, or yeah, I wanted to say that, but I'm not on the radio. I'm not writing articles. I'm not on TV. I can't say that, but you're helping me say that. It's a joy and a privilege to do that. So if someone says to you, well, what about polygamy? Polygamy's in the Bible. Why do you oppose it? Number one, we see the ideal as set forth by God in creation. God did not create several wives for Adam, but there was one woman taken out of him, and then the two become one. Again, that's fundamentally why marriage is not the union of two men or the union of two women. Obviously, if that's what happened at creation, that would be the end of creation because there would be no reproduction. But even beyond that, the woman comes out of the man and then the two reunite and become one. There is a unique complementarity between one man and one woman. That is what God established at creation, not multiple wives. Now, we have examples of multiple wives from early on in Genesis, beginning in the fourth chapter with Lamech. That's mentioned almost incidentally. But then when you have any details about multiple marriages, virtually always there are problems associated with them. So the Bible teaches us not just by direct verse saying this is right, this is wrong, but also by anecdote, by history, by example. So, for example, Abraham having a child with his concubine, that creates problems. The conflict between Ishmael and Isaac and future generations as well. Jacob ending up having to marry two wives, Rachel and Leah, in the opposite order. That creates conflicts of of massive proportions for many years to come. Then you have David and his multiple wives. That creates conflicts within the family. It leads to other issues with an incestuous relationship and one brother killing another brother. Then you have later conflicts once David's dying, who's going to come into power, with the son of which wife, and the court intrigue over that and splits over that. And then Solomon, with all of his wives and concubines, they turn his heart away from the Lord. If that's not enough in terms of example, saying polygamy's not good, polygamy's not good. You say, yeah, but there are some laws that even legislated polygamy. If a man died without having children, he's married without having children, he has a brother that's married, then the brother is to take the widow as his own and then have a child through her so that his brother's name can be preserved. Yeah, well, there are also laws about divorce, and Jesus tells us in Matthew 19 that those were given because of hardness of heart. It was never God's ideal to have divorce. God's ideal was one man, one woman united together for life. But because of hardness of heart, divorce was given. But Jesus now reinforces in Matthew 19 God's ideal, one man, one woman together. He says, and the two become one. He repeats two to say that this is the union of two people, not three or four or ten. And it's the union of a man and a woman. And then Paul establishes that for leaders, and leaders are the ones to be emulated and followed, that a leader is to be the husband of but one wife. So through the teaching of Jesus, through the example set by Paul, through the examples of the Old Testament, we see what God's ideal is, and we see that polygamy has many problems and issues associated with it. Therefore, we don't advocate it. But to repeat, redefining marriage, saying it's the union of two men or two women, is far further down the slippery slope than is polygamy. Just to be clear about that. Both are wrong. One more radically redefines marriage and family than the other. All right, don't forget, you can go to Amazon.com and download your copy of Authentic Fire. As the reviews are starting to come in and then more people are writing to me privately that haven't posted reviews yet, I am really thrilled. And what blesses me is people recognize the tone of what was written. People recognize the fact that I am not out to tear down and attack. If ugly attacks come my way, I don't respond with an ugly attack, but we say, okay, let's look at this. Let's analyze it and understand it. Let's correct the error. Let us build up rather than tear down. And the book is the number one selling book on Amazon in Christian pneumatology, meaning Christian study of the Holy Spirit. It has been as high as number five in all theology books on ebooks on Amazon. So it's getting out, and we haven't had plans, you know, for months and months to do this. So the publisher getting behind it and publicity. It's just been word of mouth and me talking about it on the radio and writing articles, social media. So recommend it to friends. Go to Amazon.com, download your copy. You can start reading it in a matter of minutes. Remember, if you don't own a Kindle e-reader, that when you order the book, you just download the free app for your smartphone. I do a lot of reading on my phone, or on your computer, your Mac, your PC, or your tablet. If you want a physical copy of the book, your generous year-end gift, this is a great time to stimulate us. I can't tell you how much it would encourage us if everyone listening would just help us with a year-end gift. Your year-end tax-deductible gift of any size, I'll send you a copy of Authentic Fire, 420-page paperback. You'll be enriched by it. I think you'll be really thrilled to get it in your hands. Your year-end tax-deductible gift of any size. Just pray, do as you're able to do, be as generous as you can, and we'll send this out in appreciation. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Thank you in advance for standing with us. My bottom line today, it's easy for us to say that the world wants to redefine marriage and all of these negative things are taking place. But far better is for us to show the world what real marriage and family looks like.